Good evening, and welcome to All Saints Parish. I am so very, very grateful to Emily and to Scola and to all of their families for making this such a beautiful service. Thank you all so much. And thanks to all of you for joining us in celebrating this feast of the Feast of Oscar Romero. There is a fairly well-known prayer attributed to Oscar Romero that begins like this. It helps now and then to step back and take a long view. The kingdom of God is not only beyond our efforts, it is beyond our vision. The prayer is a mystery. It's a mystery because while it is attributed to Archbishop Oscar Romero, the words were never spoken by him. The prayer was written by another bishop for yet a third bishop to speak in a homily in celebration of priests who had died. The real irony being that Archbishop Romero was still very much alive in November 1979 when this prayer was first offered. No one is exactly sure how the words came to be attributed to Oscar Romero, but they have. If you Google Romero prayer, you will find it. Probably, I'm guessing, it came to be attributed to him because it resonates so strongly with the things that he actually did say. And we have an awful lot of what he actually said. But let me take a step back and take a slightly longer view. Oscar Romero is undoubtedly known to many of you. Some of the older people here, and by that I mean people in this half of the church, my age and up, can remember probably hearing about his assassination on March 24th, 1980. Some of us remember growing up or having already grown up in the era of the Cold War and hearing how it impacted the countries of Central and South America. I remember hearing frequently about the Civil War in El Salvador, and the unrest and violence in Nicaragua. I remember learning the difference between Sandinistas and Contras. I remember learning terms like disappearance and dirty war. An estimated 30,000 people were disappeared in Argentina during the 1970s and 80s, and an estimated 75,000 lost their lives in El Salvador's decade-long civil war that some say really erupted with the murder of Archbishop Romero. As a teenager and a young man, I remember being formed by movies like Salvador and Missing and albums like The Clash's Sandinista. I actually remember Raul Julia playing Romero in a 1989 biopic. Unlike many of the saints that we celebrate in the Episcopal Church who are ancient or obscure, Oscar Romero has been a contemporary and visible part of our cultural landscape for much of our lives. He became Archbishop of San Salvador 40 years ago in 1977, and actually this is the 100th anniversary of his birth. He was considered a safe and moderate choice by the Roman Catholic hierarchy. The church was also caught up in the Cold War, you see, and was wrestling with more or less radical liberation theologians and clergy who operated with a preferential option for the poor on one hand, and more conservative clergy who, for the sake of stability and out of fear of communism, sought to support the governments of the area, no matter how oppressive these governments were. Romero was initially not trusted by the radicals, who thought he was too conservative, and the conservatives thought that he could keep a lid on things. But not long after he was appointed archbishop, his Jesuit friend Rutilio Grande was murdered, along with an elderly man and a 16-year-old boy. Romero urged the government to investigate the crime, but they did nothing. The Sunday following the murder, Romero canceled all of the masses in the archdiocese and insisted on celebrating one single mass at the cathedral. It's estimated that 150 clergy and over 100,000 people attended and heard Romero call for an end to the violence. For the next 3 years, Romero became known as the voice of the voiceless poor. He broadcast his weekly sermons on the church's radio station and used that medium to list all of the horrible things that were happening, all of the disappearances, the torture, the murders that had taken place. These sermons became immensely popular in the countryside and deeply troubling in the halls of power. In the midst of tremendous division, Romero preached the truth of what was happening and also a message of hope and conviction. In a sermon from July 1977, he said words that I think still ring powerfully true today. He said, "One of the signs of the present time is the idea of participation, the right that all persons have to participate in the construction of their own common good. For this reason, one of the most dangerous abuses of the present time is repression, the attitude that says, only we can govern, no one else. Get rid of them. Everyone can contribute much that is good, and in that way trust is achieved. The common good will not be attained by excluding people. We can't enrich the common good of our country by driving out those we don't care for. We have to bring out all that is good in each person and try to develop an atmosphere of trust, not with physical force, as though dealing with irrational beings, but with a moral force that draws out the good that is in everyone, especially in concerned young people. Thus, with all contributing their own interior life, their own responsibility, their own way of being, all can build the beautiful structure of the common good, the good that we construct together, and that creates conditions of kindness, of trust, of freedom, of peace. And then we can, all of us together, build the republic, the res publica, the public concern, what belongs to all of us, and what we all have the duty of building." Unquote. On Monday, March 24th, 1980, Romero was celebrating a memorial mass at a small hospital chapel for the mother of the editor of one of the few independent newspapers in El Salvador. Just the day before, on the fifth Sunday of Lent, in his sermon, he begged the enlisted men of the Salvadoran army to stop participating in killing. Some heard it as an invitation to mutiny. "Brothers," he said, "you are part of our own people. You kill your own campesino brothers and sisters. No soldier is obliged to obey an order against the law of God. It is time to take back your consciences and to obey your consciences rather than the orders of sin. The church, defender of the rights of God, of the law of God, of human dignity, of the person, cannot remain silent before such abominations. We want the government to understand seriously that reforms are worth nothing if they are stained with so much blood. In the name of God," he concluded, "and in the name of this suffering people whose laments rise to heaven each day more tumultuous, I beg you, I beseech you, I order you, in the name of God, stop the repression." The very same day, he told a reporter, You can tell the people that if they succeed in killing me, that I forgive and bless those who do it. Hopefully they will realize they are wasting their time. A bishop will die, but the Church of God, which is the people, will never perish. And he added most famously, as a Christian, I do not believe in death without resurrection. If they kill me, I will be reborn in the Salvadoran people. As he neared the end of his homily on March 24th, a sermon on the gospel passage that we heard tonight, a single shot rang out and Archbishop Romero fell dead beside the altar. No one has ever been arrested for the crime, although most agree that it was carried out by one of the government death squads. 1977 to 1980, 3 years he served as Archbishop. Actually, not even quite 3 years, but his legacy is eternal. There are many of us now, I know, who are wondering what it is that we can do in our world. It is also a world of great division, certainly not the same world as that of Salvadoran death squads, but certainly a world where we hear all too frequently a refrain similar to, only we can govern, no one else, get rid of them. The idea of participation in a common life that Romero spoke of, the right and duty of all persons to participate in the construction of the common good, remains timely, in part because the idea that we can even agree on any common good seems pretty threadbare right now. But Romero's life and death reminds us that we all have a role to play, and that we must play it fully and faithfully, regardless of whether we can see the fruit of our labors or not. And that's why this mysterious prayer attributed to him continues to resonate today. Hear it again in full. It helps now and then to step back and take a long view. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that will one day grow. We water the seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of liberation in realizing this. It enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders. Ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. Amen.